There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. This is John Katzlamitas. I'm the host of the Katz Report on the radio here at KUNV. I'm also author of the Katz Report column that runs in the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly and on both of those websites. What is happening in the column? You might be asking yourself. We have an announcement out of Caesar's Palace for their entertainment lineup to celebrate the hotel's 50th anniversary. That is going to be marked on August 5th and August 6th on the property at the Garden of the Gods, and also at Caesar's Ballroom. Tony Bennett, who's among the most famous names ever to headline at Caesar's Palace, Circus Maximus, and later at the Coliseum, is going to be headlining a show which will include, on August 6th, Wayne Newton, Donnie and Marie, Matt Goss, Howie Mandel, and the Righteous Brothers. And those are all going to be lined up for a VIP party on August 6th, a big gala. There's going to be one superstar surprise at the top of that show. And also, the band leader that night is going to be local legend Lon Bronson with his all-star band and heading up a 20-piece orchestra. And they're really looking forward to that night on August 6th. The night before that, on August 5th, is going to be a fireworks show coming off the Garden of the Gods and also a party hosted by superstar chef Gordon Ramsay. Imagine Dragons frontman Dan Reynolds made news this week, of all places, on John Oliver's show on HBO. He has taken part in a mix of a parody and protest song called Don't Use Our Song, which takes to task Donald Trump for using songs that are unlicensed in his campaign stops. The Rolling Stones, Josh Groban, Michael Bolton, Anne and Nancy Wilson of Heart, Cyndi Lauper, and Sheryl Crow are among the others who have complained about presidential candidates misusing their music. The estate of George Harrison is another performer who has complained about this, and the video and the song debuted this weekend on John Oliver's show, and you can find that on YouTube. This weekend, on Saturday night at midnight, Melody Sweet's Call of the Wild Jungle Burlesque show is happening at the Spiegel Tent at Caesar's Palace, and this is a benefit for the Sarmati Foundation, Siegfried and Roy, Masters of the Impossible, which is designed to protect and preserve exotic animals. You can donate online even after the show at melodysweets.com, and that raises a question also peripherally about what is happening with Absinthe. We aren't sure yet. We know that the cast has been told it's moving off the property on October 21st, and we haven't had any updates from anybody since then. I can confidently tell you that Base Entertainment, the co-producer, and Caesars Entertainment, who holds the lease on the land, wants Absinthe to stay. Spiegelworld hasn't signed a lease to extend the show for two more years. And that is the latest in the Katz Report. Catch it online at LasVegasSun.com and LasVegasWeekly.com. Now, my guest this week is a local legend. We're going to use the word legend. And the reason we're using the word local legend is the man who plays Edie, the mistress of sensuality, just celebrated 4,000 performances on the strip in the stage show at New York, New York. He goes by the name of Christopher Kenny, and he's with us this week. Thanks for coming down, Christopher.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. How are you doing?
I'm a legend.
You are a legend.
I've never heard that before.
No?
No.
I think after 4,000, you have to be a legend.
I think that's it.
I think that's we're going to make that the rule. That's going to be one of the, I'll have a list of
right.
things that
you
have
hit 4,000, you're a legend.
Yeah. Well, how's it feel to hit that number, first of all? It's incredible.
It's incredible. I mean, I don't know. I'm just, you know, working all the time, and all of a sudden 4,000 came, and it was so mind-boggling.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah.
I was thinking, like, some of the greatest shows on Broadway have never even hit 4,000.
Oh, no. There are many shows that don't hit 4,000 at all.
Oh, yeah. My God. It's so normal for Cirque du Soleil, but, like, personally, it's insane.
Yeah, for an individual to make that number. Here in Las Vegas, as you know, you've been here for a while. It's a very fickle market.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot of fun, though. I love it here.
So when was your first opening in the show? When did you start at Zumanity?
I don't really remember. No, I'm kidding. January 30th, 2008.
Okay. 2008?
Yeah. And I don't remember it.
Really?
No, I had a massive heart attack. All I remember was Carlos was backstage, and he pulls the curtain back, and he goes, Edie, take the stage.
And
that's all I remember.
And the show had been running for a few years before.
Yeah, it's 12 and a half years.
Okay.
And I've been in it for, it's almost 13 years. Coming up in a couple months is almost 13 years.
Yeah, that's right.
Years.
It's 04. Right?
03
it opened, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's got a very long pedigree and very colorful history.
And our audiences are still packed mm-hmm. and wonderful, and the show is going stronger than ever, and I'm so proud of it.
Yeah, you should be. I mean, it's a very, I will say about Zumanity, it is one of the shows that has improved more than any, maybe in all of Cirque du Soleil. You know, it has really ramped up all the way along. It has yeah. kept up with the competition very well.
And that's the beauty of Cirque du Soleil, mm-hmm. is that they will change it, fix it, do whatever, make it fresh. You know, they'll do all these wonderful things to a show to keep it going, alive, exciting, mm-hmm. so that, you know, even for the audience who wants to come back, wow, I didn't see that number.
Yeah.
Or I don't remember that. And, you know, they know the vibe of the show, you know, which is sensuality, sexuality, comedy, because mm-hmm. it's really funny.
It's the funniest show.
I think it's a perfect balance of comedy, acrobats, and sexuality.
Have you worked on developing the Edie character in line with how the show has changed, or is Edie kind of a static personality that is the show works around?
Edie was a developed character in New York City.
When you got here?
Mm-hmm. Before I got here. Like,
or before you got
yeah,
here.
I had established Edie was a 60s go-go girl, and because I was a dancer my whole life, I was able to bring that to Edie. I was also going to do something totally different, and I was not going to be negative and curse, and I didn't want to be bitchy and all those things that, you know, are sometimes associated with drag queens. And mostly because it just didn't feel it in my heart. It didn't feel natural to me. Mm-hmm. And my partner at the time would say, then don't. And I'd say, but all drag queens are kind of bitchy and snappy and fast and fierce and all this. And he goes, and I said, I don't want to be that way. And he goes, then don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh gosh, okay, I'll try. But, and that one thing that I was so afraid of ended up being my meal ticket, you know?
You're right. Being,
everybody's like, wow, how refreshing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I had no idea. I was just trying to survive, you know, and just trying to eat something other than top ramen.
You're not alone among Las Vegas yeah. entertainers there.
But Zumanity found Edie, and then with Zoom, and kind of made her more sensuous and sexual, and
mm-hmm.
And that was really fun for me. So I did change definitely for Zumanity, and but it was in a really fun way.
Yeah, there's
is fun.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a sarcasm coming out of Edie once in a while, but it's never in a mean-spirited way.
No, it's kind of like, you know, like if I said something and you're thinking it naughty, well, that's you.
That's on the person, and then you think, wait a minute, I was going somewhere by myself.
Right.
I wasn't even gonna take a part.
Right.
We're going to take a quick break here, Christopher, make a pause for the cause. John Katsimatidis, the Cats Report with Christopher Kenny, Edie, the Mistress of Sensuality. Stick around. I know we will. Welcome back. John Katsimatidis with the Cats Report on the radio. Joined this week by the great Christopher Kenny, Edie, Mistress of Sensuality and Zumanity. And we've dubbed Edie a legend here today. That's the breaking news. If we could talk about the audition process, or how you actually got lined up with Zumanity in the first place, Christopher, because I know there are different paths to lead into Cirque du Soleil. I mean, there's a great deal of recruitment and outreach to the company. They're incredible at that. How did they find you? Or how did you find them?
They found me, which was mind-blowing to me.
Right.
Because I always say that I had two dreams in life. My first dream was Broadway. And that's a dream that I could make happen, you know, through hard work and my whole life of dancing and all that stuff. And I did. It did happen. The second one was Cirque du Soleil, which never in a million years would ever happen. But I loved Cirque du Soleil more than any mm-hmm. other show I had ever seen in my life.
Were you exposed to Cirque as a kid?
Yeah. Well, not as a kid. I'm from Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was dancing with Pacific Northwest Ballet in Seattle, Cirque du Soleil came down for a big tour of Nouvelle Experience.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. And
that
so
was, that was here and it came into Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That was the original. Yeah.
It came to Seattle. I was a young dancer. They offered the whole ballet tickets. And I went not knowing what, but I just wanted to go on a date with somebody, like seriously. So it was a great excuse. So I did. And that date, as soon as that show started, that date disappeared. Gone.
Wow.
I don't mean physically. I just mean like, you know.
Your attention was on stage.
Oh, it was so magical and stuff. So anyway, so I was years and years and years later, I was in New York City and I got a phone call. And she said, hello, this is Krista Monson from Cirque du Soleil Casting.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, shut up, who is this? And she repeated herself. She goes, my name is Krista Monson from Cirque du Soleil Casting. I'd like to speak to
you. And she had your number like out of the dark and called you?
Cirque du Soleil can find anyone.
All right. they're like the FBI.
They are. They are the FBI of
the
talent.
The FBI with the bungee and right. Spandex.
And that would have been fun. But anyways, she said she just repeated herself, and I said I'm so sorry, and she said it's okay, I get it all the time. Mm-hmm. But they found me somehow. I got my name put into a hat of. What I had learned later was that they were doing a nationwide search looking for the next MC of Zumanity. So then I had to send in some videotapes, and then they narrowed it down to 8 people, I believe, and flew us all out, kept us all separate. Nobody knew who was here. And I was here in the hotel with a friend, but I didn't know they were here.
Okay.
Because it was all this top secret mission.
It is. It's very, very CIA-esque.
It's exciting.
Yeah, right.
And,
Cirque IA.
Yeah, and then they bring us in, you know, through different doors and through different rooms, and we all go on stage one at a time and audition for the role, and I ended up getting it.
So what were the other acts like? Were they anything like Edie?
Well, they're not. They were drag queens. Because okay. in the Zumanity Bible, the MC is a drag performer.
Okay.
So, so it just had to be. So they were reaching out to some of the most famous drag performers around the country.
Anybody we know?
I auditioned with the amazing Sherry Vine.
Okay. You know,
internet sensation.
Right.
Kevin Aviance and Christopher Peterson down in Florida, who does all the impersonations of celebrities. Amazing.
They all auditioned.
Yeah. Wow. I'm meaning of the last 8.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chanel was one of them. And all amazing talents. Amazing talents.
What do you think won it for you? What did they tell you that they liked about you?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe I was the tallest. I don't know.
Your breath goes.
I'm
how
definitely
tall are
the
you?
Tallest.
How tall are you?
Well, I'm not that tall. I'm 6'3", but in heels and hair, I'm 7'1".
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been next to Edie in character, and it's a daunting
It's like a experience. Vulture, right?
It's very, you're very imposing. And
we have one of our characters in our show is like 2.5 feet tall. And so that's fun.
You've got the greatest height disparity of any show in town.
She's tall. Oh, that's true. Absolutely.
What have you had a chance to check out other productions in town and compare?
I go to as many as I can.
What are some of your favorite experiences outside your own show, and how do they compare to what you do?
I mean, honestly, outside of my show would be some of our sister shows. Unbelievable.
Cirque shows?
Yeah, I mean, oh my God, who's got $165 million to throw into a show, you know? I mean, it's just mind-blowing, like inventing things to blow our minds, you know, like the stage at Ka.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
You know? So I love all of that. I love, and then some of the shows outside of our shows that I love so much would be like Absinthe.
Mm-hmm.
It was so amazing.
Yeah.
I love Jersey Boys.
Yeah.
I love so many shows.
Mm-hmm.
Can we say the shows that I don't like? Because it's a much...
Absolutely.
No, I'm kidding.
I could probably pick those.
There's so many
probably
good...
Probably the same ones I don't like.
Right. No, there's so many great shows here, and there's such a great variety.
You've had a lot of shows close in Las Vegas recently.
Yeah.
You know, what is it?
We did back when I first got here, too, because when I got here is when the economy crashed.
That's right. Yeah, you were right on the other tent post of that. But when you guys see a show like a Jersey Boys, you mentioned,
mm-hmm.
And we have Showstoppers that's also announced it's closing.
Yeah.
You kind of look around and see, what is the feeling around your cast? Is there a little bit of trepidation? Is there a feeling that you have to, you know, pay more attention to what you're
there
doing?
There is a little, but you know when you're in a really wonderful show and you know, like, this show is so incredible and I'm not saying that just because I'm in it, because when I go out in the audience and watch while my understudy's on, I look at the show in a whole new way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very different when you're on stage and when you're out in the audience.
Right.
And so I'm like, wow, I can't believe I'm a part of this show.
Yeah.
So I feel a great security in the show. Now, I don't know about me personally. They might be like, get her out of here. She's fired. But the show is going to go on for a while. And especially because Cirque du Soleil is always ready to change it, make it grow, push the envelope.
They have a very, don't they? They have a very good read on when the audience is ready for it to change.
Yeah.
Cirque has a very good feel for that.
It's a sad thing about Broadway too, because Broadway closes their show You can't change it after opening night.
It freezes
opening night. And then you can't change anything after that.
Yeah.
Even if it needs a tweak or it needs, ooh.
Yeah. That's what they say about shows. Even non-Cirque shows in Las Vegas are never set.
Yeah.
You know, they're always moving. You know, I've talked to producers and of other companies, and they say that's the one thing that separates Las Vegas from Broadway, because just what you said.
Yeah.
You know, you can't move. Even the Cirque show in on Broadway now, the Paramore show is set.
Yeah.
Because it's on Broadway.
Oh, is it? Because it's...
Yeah, that's the word I got out of... Ruby was out here.
Yeah.
Luis was talking about... She came from Cirque... it came into Cirque Theatrical. She was in Cirque Theatrical when they had Baz, and I said, that's the difference. You know, it's really
That's too bad, because I think that's what Cirque is so amazing.
Yeah.
Just growing and growing. Technology. When we closed our show a year and a half ago to refresh it and stuff, we did not only refresh choreography, costumes... they put in new technology in the lights, new technology in the sound system, because what was put in there 10 years ago is different. Mm-hmm. So the images and stuff, and so it's really cool. I mean, I love that.
The same thing happened with the Love show. They you know, improved the visual quality of the show along with the sound system.
I haven't been back yet.
Yeah, I'd like to know what you think of it, because they've upgraded everything.
Yeah.
The sound system, if you remember, when it opened in 06, was, you know, 6,600 speakers and all this. And they said, okay, well, we're ready to, you know, update that now.
Let's double it.
more woofer, more low end, as they say.
Yeah.
In your position in the show, you've got such a crucial role in Zumanity to keep the thing, keep the rudder going, and keep the energy alive. What are some of the strangest things people, because you bring up audience members a lot. What are some of the strangest things that have happened in the show that you can recall, like when you get audience members involved and on stage?
First of all, we've been really lucky that we have mostly 99.9% fun people.
Mm-hmm.
Because when it's our turn to bring somebody up, whoever it is, whether it's Casanova in the show brings up a woman at the end of the show or somebody, we've been eyeing them up until, because each person has to grab their person. They want to make sure they grab somebody good. But we have had a couple people who, even not in that we bring on the show, but we've seen people like having sex in the audience.
Really?
Which is very interesting, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
That's frowned upon.
Yeah. Well, the ushers haven't caught it yet. You know? You know, on one hand, you're like, oh, come on, take it back to the room. But on the other hand, you're kind of excited that you're able to make people.
Well, I guess that's,
act insane.
It's like when the Jersey Boys get people to dance, you get,
get
people to.
Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. I mean, if you got that kind of, like, that has happened, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It happens more with just like the, like a hand under the skirt kind of thing.
Yeah. You know, but we're not talking about a full-blown
setting
candles
happened.
Out. And...
It has happened. It was a sitting on the lap situation. A while ago.
Was it up front in the love seats?
It was, yes. I don't know. I remember what section it was in.
Okay.
But I actually didn't quite notice. I'm like, I didn't notice that they were doing it. I just noticed that she was sitting on the lap. And then everybody else went backstage like, oh my God.
So you didn't address this couple from the
never do that. No.
Oh my God.
No, you can have sex privately. Yes.
Yeah, right. What's your favorite part of the show?
My favorite part is going down into the audience and talking to the audience.
Yeah.
That's the most exciting part for me.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to get when you
never know
there,
what
right?
you're going
to get. Yeah.
And they crack me up. You know, I love it. I love it. You don't know what you're going to expect, and I don't know what to expect, and to me, that's the most magical part.
The other night, we had a couple of people who were interesting. We had a first grade teacher out of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who was pretty much attacking everybody around her.
Hilarious.
And then what was the other? Oh, it was a commercial fisherman who lived in Minnesota.
Right.
You really had a good time with this person.
He was really fun.
Yeah.
He didn't look like, I mean, a commercial fisherman. You know,
I didn't
like,
know. I didn't
out
know
of Alaska. He was tiny and cute, and he was... it was fun and
yeah. He didn't look like he was.
No,
I don't know what a commercial fisherman is supposed to exactly look like, but
well,
I wouldn't have guessed that.
Bigger than the fish itself.
Yeah, that's not the line you used
tiny.
On him. You catch fish as big as you.
That's true.
But I know that at the beginning of Zumanity, I had heard, and I don't know how long this lasted, if it went into your tenure, but it was the show that had the most walkouts of any in Las Vegas because they didn't know what to expect.
That was just in the very beginning.
That was at the start, right?
Yeah, it was very provocative and stuff, and which is normal to us, right? We would all watch the show and think it was fun, and I know a lot of people that did. They loved it. But when you're doing something like that in front of middle America, you have to just kind of finesse it a little bit.
Right.
But the beauty of Cirque, they watched it, changed it, fixed it.
Yeah.
You know.
And they explained.
Found that balance of, you know.
Yeah. They do explain, do a very good job of explaining what Zoomanity is at this point. And, and by now everybody knows. But I do remember that being an issue, like hundreds a night where people were just like, we can't handle this.
Hundreds?
I had heard like 100. I forget what the number was. Jerry Nadal gave me a number at one point from Cirque du Soleil. It was more than 100 per evening that were walking out at the beginning of Zoomanity.
Oh,
I had to check that. Yeah, I'll get the number.
That sounds exciting.
Because they hadn't. You know, people were coming in thinking they were going to see Mystère.
Yeah.
Hadn't done their research. Yeah. You know? And if you're thinking
Cirque du Soleil had never done anything, so
it was so
naughty.
It was so out of the ordinary for them. You know, there people were used to Nouvelle, what you saw, which was a tented show before even Mystère opened.
Yeah.
And so Cirque is like. Circus.
Yeah, that was a left turn for them, but it was a great one.
Right. Well, in what form has Edie performed outside of Zoomanity?
I just started in like little restaurants and bars in New York City, and then I was invited to do all these, you know, other things like award shows and birthday parties in San Francisco, and I started getting hired out, and it just started to grow and explode so quickly that I had to make that decision. Am I doing this or am I, you know, not? Because I was in New York City to pursue Broadway.
Yeah.
And one of my favorite things that I love to do is cabaret.
Mm-hmm.
I love that hour and 15 minutes of just singing and dancing and telling stories and jokes. And did you see Alan Cumming this weekend?
No, I didn't. I was going to ask you about that. You went and saw him.
Yeah, I did.
PBS recording for that. And Cabaret Jazz. And how do you know him?
He was at the Smith Center. And, I went to go support him because we did a Broadway show together. Mm-hmm. We knew each other before that.
What was the show?
Three Penny Opera.
Oh, okay.
With Cyndi Lauper and Anna Gasteyer.
Fun. Yeah.
And so I went to go support him. But that kind of cabaret of just singing and dancing and telling stories and stuff is my one of my favorite things.
Was this in character that you were doing as Edie?
Oh yeah, yes, okay. Edie. Mm-hmm. Edie, the kind of go-go girl.
Could you conceivably, Christopher, perform as Edie in Cabaret Jazz and do a one-off that way?
Have before
in Las Vegas.
In Las Vegas, I did. Or? I did it at the Onyx Theater.
Oh, okay.
And I do some hosting gigs, you know, for Golden Rainbow and.
You do that every year, right?
Yeah, and Broadway Bears when it was here and stuff. But it's hard. 10 shows a week is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't done it in a little while, but it's funny you mention it because I have a show coming up. No, I don't. I have
I'm starting to write it down.
Yeah, right. No, I'm thinking about it. I really, really, really want to do one very soon.
What's your vision for that? Just like what you described, Hour 15 Cabaret?
Yeah.
As Edie?
Oh, yeah. Just in a small theater, maybe like Onyx or Theater Hub is building a theater and... or the Cockroach or, you know, someplace like that.
Well, Mark Chinook is building the space that is going to be open here pretty soon. Yep. And that's exactly what he's talking about. He was in here a couple weeks ago talking about.
I love that little intimate kind of cabaret / theater.
A couple hundred people in a flexible stage and a good sound stage. Yeah.
That's why I love Zoomanity so much because it feels like that. Even though there's 1,300 people, doesn't it feel intimate?
It does. You know, I was looking around in that theater the other night, and I was there the early show on a Sunday, and it was a good crowd, a good audience.
Yeah.
And I had forgotten about the upstairs, the balcony, and you had made reference to the people up there, and there were a lot of people in that area. But it does feel smaller from a seated position than it really is.
Yeah, it feels very intimate.
Yeah, it's a beautiful theater.
Yeah, the worst seat in the house is awesome.
Yeah. The stage is huge, but yet you feel like you're in you're in a club.
It's phallic. Illusion.
It's extremely phallic. Yeah. It makes people want to have sex in the audience, apparently. So, what is your end game here, Christopher? Is it going to be as Edie for the foreseeable future and performing in Zoomanity, or is there anything you want to pursue that's either with Cirque?
Well, my new contract starts in just a couple days, August 1st.
You signed in?
We actually signed like 5 or 6 months before.
Oh, okay.
Before even that next contract starts. Mm-hmm. And it's every year. It's kind of interesting they do that because it's like, if you lose your job, you're like, I have to sit here for 5 months. But then it's such a blessing because, oh, good, I have 5 months to look for another job.
Yeah, it's 5 months notice.
Or if you're going to retire or whatever, you know, you have some time to really kind of place yourself in that place, you know. So, but I have resigned. I start August 1st and go to July 31st, and So that'll be 9.5 years in Zumanity.
And 9.5 years in Las Vegas, too.
Yeah.
Right?
You like creating it? A legend.
Creating a legend. He was nobody when he showed up.
Well, I wish
now.
I had an echo machine at that moment.
We'll add it in post. I don't even know what post means. But do you like it here? Do you like living in Vegas?
More than I thought.
Okay.
Because I moved
a lot of people say this.
I know. They do, don't they? Uh-huh. I living in New York City for so long, 14 years, was magical. And I didn't really think I was going to leave. But when Cirque du Soleil calls, you know, I was out of there. And I actually love it. There's something to be said about sunshine every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The cost of living here is wonderful.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing I hear is that people, when they see that they can actually maybe own a house.
I bought a house.
Did you?
My first time.
All right. You happy with it?
5.5 years ago, but
okay.
Amazing.
Yeah? Good neighborhood?
Huh? A great neighborhood. Old. I thought if I live in a... If I buy a house in Las Vegas, it's going to be like an old, vintage mm-hmm. Las Vegas home.
Yeah. A lot of performers do that.
Yeah.
They live in Rancho Circle or they live in Paradise Palms and those areas.
I live in... Oh, I shouldn't say that.
That's right. We'll edit it out.
We'll
put it in post.
I don't care. It's a big old neighborhood.
You moved to Paradise.
If they can find me,
California.
Let's go swimming.
There you go. That should be the open rule. If you can find me, you get the skinny dip. Yeah. All right, Christopher Kenny, the legend, Edie, the mistress of sensuality. You make it happen there in Zumanity nightly, right? When are your dark nights?
Wednesday, Thursday.
Okay.
Tonight, my Saturday.
Right on. Well, good.
Who wants to go swimming?
It's swimming time. And that is a cabaret show of a different order, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming in, Christopher. It's a delight to talk to you. I'm a big fan of what you do, and we'll do it again soon.
Thank you.